Welcome back to another episode of Better Than I Found It, the podcast all things college golf. You're listening to Mike McGraw, the men's golf coach at Baylor University. I'd like to wish everyone a belated happy Thanksgiving. Just this past week, we all spent time with our family. You know, being thankful, grateful, and having gratitude, that's some of the best of human qualities. And I'm definitely thankful for my family. As most coaches will tell you, we're also incredibly thankful for our players, who are our golf coach's greatest asset. I believe that God leads each of them to me and reminds me daily of the awesome responsibility I have there, but also the wonderful opportunity I have as well. You know, I'd like to introduce you to our players here at Baylor on this podcast. I think some of them have been introduced in past podcasts as seniors, or graduating seniors, but now we have some COVID fifth-year seniors, so they all haven't been introduced to you in a good way, so I'm going to do that here today. We do have three COVID fifth-year seniors on the team. All three chose to come back. In fact, they basically said they would come back before the NCAA ever allowed them to do that, which I thought was a great gesture, but once the NCAA gave them the extra year, all three decided to come back. The first of those is Tyler Eisenhardt, from Geneva, Illinois, who was, along with Scout McNeely, who graduated in 3 years, he was one of the first two players I ever recruited to Baylor who were not from the state of Texas. Tyler is one of the nicest young men you'll ever meet. He's been a big part of our success the past couple of seasons. He's also an incredible student in the classroom. His commitment to excellence in all areas is unparalleled. And I mean, I know he's done a great job this fall of building his body. He's gotten stronger. And Tyler should figure in this spring quite nicely, as he has the past couple of years. Another COVID fifth-year senior is Luke Dossie from Austin, Texas. Luke was the winner of last year's 2023 David Toms Award, given annually to a player who has overcome physical injury to get back into the game. His injuries, which were many, cost him his first 18 months of his college career here at Baylor. But since then, he's really gotten it together. He's gotten stronger. He's playing his best golf of his life. He's actually earned 6 top 10 finishes in the past couple of years. Luke's just a fantastic student athlete as well. Will graduate with a master's here at Baylor. The 6th player that's done that in the past 10 years at Baylor. Really, really proud of his accomplishment there. Our third COVID kid is 2-time golf All-American Johnny Kiefer from San Antonio. Johnny also represented the USA and Baylor in the 2022 Arnold Palmer Cup. He's set numerous Baylor records while wearing the green and gold, and he had a great fall this year as well, so continuing that great play that he's had for the past 4 years. So I'm thankful all three of those guys chose to come back for like a COVID fifth year, which extended their stay in Waco one additional year, which is great. It's given us a chance to be a really, really strong team. All three of those guys are figuring in greatly in what we're doing as a team this year, so I'm thankful for them. I have two actual seniors. The first is Trey Bosco from Lake Travis High School in Austin. His career includes 5 top 10 finishes, most recently earlier this month. In Hawaii, he finished 5th. They played a great golf tournament there. Trey is one of the youngest, if not the youngest ever, Texas State amateur champion, which he won before his freshman year back in 2020. Our final senior is Luke Morgan from Guthrie, Oklahoma. The 2019 Oklahoma State High School champion also qualified for this year's U.S. Amateur at Cherry Hills. He took Akshay Bhatia to the 16th hole at the U.S. Junior in 2018. He's a great, great player. He's also a high school basketball player at Guthrie High School in Oklahoma, averaging 13 points per game. He's a really, really good athlete and has also had some injury, but is playing right now about as well as he's played in quite some time. Those are our all 5 of our seniors, 3 of them COVID fifth year and 2 actual seniors. All 5 of these players will earn their degree from Baylor this May, and that keeps the streak alive. Every player I've brought to Baylor in the past 10 years will have earned a degree. I'm thankful for that commitment these kids have into academics as well as their commitment to golf. Truly, I am. I mean, it's special when you can do well on the golf course, but also you excel in the classroom. Truly impressive. Juniors on our team this year include Drew Wrightson from Zionsville, Indiana, and Zach Heffernan from Bernie, Texas. Drew, who was an all-conference golfer last spring, has actually earned 5 top 10 finishes over the past couple of years, including tied for 6th at the Big 12 Championship at Prairie Dunes last spring. He's also the first pre-med student that I've ever had in all the years that I've coached. And I've got to tell you, I wasn't positive how that would work, but because it does require some afternoon labs and some, it's obviously a tough major to be in. I've never coached one before. I don't know if I'll ever get to coach another, but the commitment to excellence in all areas of life, including academics, set Drew apart. He's an amazing, amazing young man. The way he commits himself to academics is exemplary, and it's also very impressive and awe-inspiring. He's a wonderful, wonderful student, but a great player as well. Actually, he's put on 25 pounds of muscle since he got to college 3 years ago, so his commitment to working out has been strong as well. Zach Heffernan, the other junior on the team, was a 2-time Texas State Junior Champion, also an AJGA All-American in high school, and represented the West team in the Wyndham Cup. He had a great fall this fall season, which I'll tell you about shortly. But Zach's come a long, long way, and truly, by the way, he's a big George Strait fan. He's played golf with George Strait, which kind of sets him apart in my eyes, because George Strait is the king. We all know that. But anyway, Zach is a great player. Our two sophomores on the team. One is Sam Dossie, who happens to be the 34th member of his extended family to attend Baylor. Talk about a legacy. He is coming off a medical redshirt year and posted his lowest competitive round at Baylor this fall with an opening round 68 at the Dallas Baptist Tournament. Sam, obviously his older brother Luke is on the team. His oldest brother Cooper was an All-American here twice. Sam is probably one of the great Baylor Bears I've ever met. When he would come to golf camp as a young kid, he could tell me every football player on the team, every basketball player on the team, their hometowns. He could tell me statistics about those guys. So he grew up definitely a Baylor Bear. But it's wonderful to see that his game has developed to a point where he can be on this team. Really, really doing a great job. Our other sophomore is Jonas Appel from Encinitas, California. Who not only represented the West team in the Wyndham Cup as a junior golfer, but he also made match play in 2 consecutive U.S. juniors. He has 5 top 10 finishes in the past 2 seasons for Baylor. He grew up in La Costa at La Costa Country Club, which will be the home course for the NCAA championship each of the next 3 seasons. So he knows that course intimately quite well, and he's been able to tell us about the changes that have been made on the golf course. Jonas is a terrific kid. His older sister is at Baylor as well. So they're bringing a great legacy to Baylor University. Finally, our freshman, Davis Ovard, is a freshman from Frisco, Texas. He brings a lot to the table, including a runner-up to Oklahoma State's Preston Stout in last summer's junior Byron Nelson, along with several other good AJGA finishes. Davis is a wonderful student as well, which I take pride in that, having guys on the team who also excel in the classroom. He is that. The other freshman, his roommate this year, is Patricio Gonzalez. Patricio, who goes by Pato, is also a freshman who hails from Monterrey, Mexico. He is the first non-American. He's the first international player I've signed at Baylor in the 10 years I've been here. And he was one of 4 Baylor Bears to play in the U.S. Amateur in August at Cherry Hills. Really happy Pato's here. Great kid. Brings a lot to the table. He's just a really sweet kid. You'd love him if you got to know him. Again, I consider myself extremely blessed to call these my players are our players at Baylor, and I'm proud to be called their coach. I'm indeed grateful for that. So with that, let's talk about the fall. Just kind of recap what we did as a team, where we've been, where we've played, what's happened. We started the fall, September 9th through the 11th, at the Valero Texas Collegiate. Great field there at TPC San Antonio, the Oaks course, where they played the Texas Open on the PGA Tour. you know, we really had a great event, which I thought we could win this golf tournament. With six holes to play, we were one shot out of the lead. We didn't finish as well, and Vanderbilt made a bunch of birdies. I think they made eight birdies in the last six holes, and they're one of the best teams in the country. I think they're ranked either first or second, depending on the poll you see. And TCU, whose brand-new head coach is a former Baylor Bear, Bill Alcorn. Bill's team finished runner-up. Great way to start his career there at TCU. And we were third. We had some good wins in that event, some top – we're definitely top 10, top 15 teams we were able to beat at that tournament. Johnny Kiefer, who grew up on the golf course, that's his home course. He finished tied for first with two other players, and they had a playoff. The winner of the playoff got to go to – it will be invited to the Texas Open on the PGA Tour in April. Johnny lost that playoff but made an incredible 25-footer on the last hole of regulation to send it to a playoff. So really, really great job there. Johnny continuing the All-American golf that he's played for so many years here at Baylor. Luke Dossier got a top 10 in that event. Johnny finished 6 under, I believe, and Luke was 2 under. So we finished third in our opening event, a really good field, so a nice way to start the fall. We didn't have much time between that event and the Fighting Illini, which is played in Chicago, Illinois at Olympia Fields. Olympia Fields, it's no secret, I've said on this podcast many times, is one of my favorite golf courses that we play ever. And it's certainly one of my favorite golf tournaments that I've ever been at. I've been to every one of the Fighting Illini Invitationals since the very first one in 2006. Haven't missed with Oklahoma State, Alabama, and then now Baylor. I've gone there every year since I've been at Baylor. We finished tied for seventh. I wouldn't say it was our best finish. It was a rain-shortened event. The final round was rained out, and so we hoped to gain a little bit of ground. I think we could have caught at least two of those teams if we'd have had the final round to play. We weren't able to do that, and that's a good reminder to all players and coaches. Get the lead, or get up there pretty high on the leaderboard after 36 holes. You never know, the final round might be rained out. So that's the sixth final round that's been rained out in my 10 years at Baylor. We finished seventh this time. The other five times, we finished runner-up. So I don't like having a final round rained out, but that's our responsibility. We should have been in better position going into the final round. Johnny had another good tournament. Johnny finished tied for eighth. Second round, 67, vaulted him into the top 10 right there. Then we played the Big 12 match play tournament, which those of you who are Baylor golf fans will know this tournament has been near and dear to my heart. We've had a great, great run in the Big 12 match play since its inception in 2018. We won four matches in a row. We beat UCF in the first round 4-1, four matches to one. We beat Iowa State 3-2. And by the way, Andrew Tank's team at Iowa State, we've played them every single year at the Big 12 match play. They have been in our pod every year, and they every single year give us one of the toughest matches. So it was 3-2. It was very close right to the end of that match. We played TCU, Bill Alcorn's team, and we won 5-0, 5-0 in the third round, and then played Houston in what would be considered the semifinal in the fourth match, and we won 4-1 there. So we played very, very well the first four matches, just kind of, I wouldn't say dominated every match, but certainly controlled every match. And we faced Texas, the Texas Longhorns, in the final match. And honestly, that match went down to literally the last two holes. Davis Ovard lost his match 2-1, and Johnny Kiefer lost his match 1-up on the 18th. And both of those matches actually finished with a shotgun start, finished on the same hole. Great finish, exciting finish. Texas will be one of the top teams in the country this year for sure. The rankings have been a little bit skewed this fall. We're not really sure exactly what the rankings mean yet. We will know sometime in the spring, but I do know this. Texas is a great golf team, and we took them all the way to the last couple of holes. Might be noted that in that tournament, Zach Heffernan went 5-0. He's only the fourth player in Baylor golf history, or maybe the fourth player in the history of the event. That's it. To go 5-0, Cooper Dossie and Colin Cober in 2018 were the first two to do it. But anyway, he went 5-0. All of his matches, He dominated. He won his opening match 3-1. He won his second match 3-2. He won his third match 3-2. He won his fourth match 3-2. And he won his final match 5-4. Zach played amazing golf, just completely dominated his opponents all week long. So we kind of leaned on him. But Johnny Kiefer actually won four matches in a row and then lost in the final match to Brian Stark from Texas. Johnny's overall record in 5 years at the Match Play Championship was 16-5-2. I'm not sure anybody will ever win 16 matches again. He got to play in the Match Play 5 years. So that may be a record that stands for a very, very long time. 16-5-2. Great job, Johnny. And actually, Trey Bosco and Luke Dossie also had winning records at 3-2. So it was a very, very good event. I thought we could win there. I really thought we were going to win that last day, but just didn't go our way. And Texas is a great team. And I just hope we can, have something to say about it in the spring, this offseason, as we call a growing season, continue to grow and get better. Let's just hope that we can flip the script when we go to Whispering Pines in April. But the final tournament of the fall was a special event because we got to take all 11 guys to this. It was the Kapalai Invitational in Hawaii on Oahu. Solid field. It was not the strongest field we've seen all year long, but two teams, Loyola Marymount, who won, they won three times this fall. And Florida Gulf Coast is a pretty highly ranked team as well. We finished third. At 47 under par, the golf course played a little bit, I would say, soft. It wasn't, and we didn't have a lot of conditions. So, but again, third place, not a bad way to finish the fall. Trey Bosco, as I mentioned earlier, had a great event. He finished tied for fifth. Really had a chance to win the golf tournament. Luke Dossie and Johnny Kiefer were tied for eighth. So Johnny got his third top 10 finish of the fall. Trey got his first of the fall top five finish. And Luke, another top 10. So, you know, all in all, a really solid fall. I think we're ranked 24th in the initial rankings. We were ranked 24th at Golf Week before they pulled their ranking down off the website. And but in the spike mark rankings, clipped rankings that have came out on November 15th, we were also 24th. So I know we have a very good team. I think there's a lot more in the tank. I think this team can do a whole lot more, and I'm really excited about what they might do this spring. That's our fall schedule. We open our spring schedule in February at Palm Springs at the Prestige, which is another great field. Really excited to go compete there again. And we will see our former player, Scout McNeely, whose family has a home on the golf course there. So look forward to seeing Scout again. So that's our fall wrap-up. Our fall was a solid one. I think we've got a great spring ahead. I hope you will pay attention. We play in Texas two or three times, so maybe if you're somewhat local, you could get out and see us play. With that, I'm reminded that five of those young players I just talked about will graduate in May. I thought it might be a good time to talk about the 2024 signing class that we just signed about 3 weeks ago, because there are five to replace the five we're losing. It's the largest class I've ever signed in my entire career. And I'm really excited about it. But because they all signed a national letter of intent, I can now, by NCAA rules, tell you about them. So let's start with a local boy, Corbin Null. Corbin happens to be the first Waco born and bred product to sign to play golf at Baylor in over 20 years. The Midway High School senior also competed in the U.S. Junior this summer. Really happy he'll be joining us. Great kid. Love Corbin Null. He was a former golf camper just like Sam Dossie as well. Next up is Jackson Heimer, whose resume includes several top five AJGA finishes and a victory, also competing in the U.S. Junior in 2021. Jackson plays at San Antonio Johnson High School. He's a player I think that has loads of talent, just tons and tons of talent, untapped. Played in the Rolex Tournament of Champions this past week in San Antonio and finished, I believe, top 15. So a really solid finish there. Excited to have him joining us. Our third Texas player in this class is Martin Kemp, a 2023 graduate from Highland Park High School in Dallas. Martin is currently taking a gap year and playing in a lot of amateur tournaments and some APT pro tournaments as an amateur. He will join the team in August. First player I've had take a gap year. Really excited to see the improvements he will make during that time. Aiden Gutierrez is the fourth player in this class. It comes to us after a successful high school career, Valparaiso High School in Indiana. Baylor people know about the Valparaiso connection with Scott Drew and all of the different people from that area that have impacted Baylor athletics. He's been a state champion there and also competed in two U.S. junior amateurs. Really excited to have Aiden join us. Finally, Vincent Sternfelt from Sweden rounds out what is the largest recruiting class of my career. Vincent attended the same golf high school as Ludvig Åberg, who just won on the PGA Tour last week. And he's a member of the, Vincent is, a member of the Swedish national junior team. Earned a top 10 finish in last year's Junior Orange Bowl in Miami, Florida. All five players will be here in August, and we all look forward to their arrival, and I know you do as well, Sikkim Bears. Might be a good time to mention, because we were talking about recruiting, that per NCAA regulations, golf coaches cannot recruit off campus until January 1st, 2024. This is just one of the pieces of NCAA legislation passed in recent years to limit off-campus recruiting. In fact, we're now limited to 45 recruiting days per institution off campus from August 1st to July 31st. So if a coach is following you and you're a prospect at a tournament this spring or summer, he or she is likely very interested in you joining their team because it's one of the 45 days. And as I said, it's per institution, which means if my assistant coach is in San Antonio and I'm in Dallas on the same day recruiting, that's two of those 45 recruiting days. So we don't have a ton of opportunities to see kids off campus compete, and we have no opportunity to do that right now, not until January 1st. Gone are the days with unlimited off-campus evaluations. Like from August, I'll just give you an example, which is, I'm not certain I'm completely proud of this, but it happened. But when I was at Oklahoma State and a new head coach, I kind of wanted the players, the prospects, to see my face. I kind of wanted them to know that I was the new face of Oklahoma State golf because Mike Holder had been there 32 years. So I knew I needed to recruit a little bit more early on, especially. So from August of 2005 through September of 2006, I was on the road 112 days and nights, so literally basically a third of a year recruiting. Now, I was obsessed. Let's make no mistake about it. I was going to do the most recruiting I possibly could during that time. Now, it did yield two of the best recruiting classes I'll probably ever have, but the quality of life definitely suffered. In those two recruiting classes, we had Kevin Tway and Ricky Fowler in 2007, along with Mark Johnson. And then in 2008, we had Morgan Hoffman and Peter Uihlein and Sean Einhaus, and Drew Page as well. So it was a couple of really, really strong recruiting classes, but we were unlimited. You could go as often as you wanted. There was a couple of dead periods around signing days you couldn't go. But other than that, we went out. Now, I believe the 45-day maximum days, whether you agree with that number or not, it does force coaches to do a few things better. We have to be more efficient with our time. We have to prepare before we go to tournaments a whole lot better with all of the statistics, all the bios on players, find out everybody in the field, find out everything we can so you've done your work ahead of time. We probably go to as many events as we used to, but instead of staying 3 or 4 days at those events, we might stay 1 or 2 days, which because we are limited to 45 days. We also quit babysitting or recruiting in herds, which a lot of people don't understand, but this really, really occurred a lot. You might have a really, really touted junior, really good player, a lot of coaches wanting to follow, and you might have 10, 12, 15 coaches following that player for 16 or 17 or 18 holes, and you kind of got lost in those recruiting herds, and it also created the situation where you babysit. So a kid's playing in the tournament at PGA National. You watch him his practice round. You watch the first round, the second round, the third round, the fourth round, and you just try to outwatch everybody. We don't really do that anymore. I think it was a waste of resources. Truly, I do. I think we have to be more efficient now than we ever were before, and we get a lot more done in less time. And I think we still get the proper evaluation of players done. But anyway, sometime this winter I plan on doing an entire episode on recruiting, but today I'll just give you kind of a couple of teasers, one where I lost a player and the other a rather humorous story, actually. So stay tuned for that recruiting podcast sometime this winter. The first is a story about losing Hunter Mahan. So I was Mike Holder's assistant at the time at Oklahoma State, and Hunter Mahan was, if not the best player in the country, certainly one of them. And so Mike, in those days, only one coach could be on the road at a given time recruiting. So it was either myself or Mike Holder was watching Hunter Mahan play tournaments. We missed almost nothing he did for 2.5 years. And so during that period, Hunter kind of got close to us, and he really liked us. He hadn't taken a visit yet. It was the USM in August before his senior year. And Hunter met with Mike Holder after that tournament and told Mike he thought he would like to come to Oklahoma State. And his dad said, "Son, put on the brakes. You know, you need to visit a couple of schools." So he did. He visited that fall Oklahoma State and Southern Cal. And he ended up signing with Southern Cal that fall. And I walked around in an absolute funk for about 2 or 3 days. And Mike Holder was watching me. He'd never seen me in that kind of a mood. And he just said, what is the matter with you? And I said, "Well, Mike, we followed Hunter for 2.5 years. We did everything right. We did it by the book. He tried to commit to you, although he wasn't, his dad wanted him to finish the process," which I agreed with, actually, "and go and visit both schools that he was interested in. But Mike, we did everything right and we didn't get him. This may not be the business for me." And I'll never forget Alan Bratton telling me that years later when he was my assistant, saying the same thing. And I had an answer for him, which the answer Mike Holder gave me after we lost Hunter Mahan. He said, "Coach, I don't know what to tell you, but I do know that you're going to lose more recruits in the future, and you're going to lose great players like Hunter, and they're going to go to other schools. You're going to have to figure out a way where this won't affect you so deeply. Or if it does affect you deeply, you don't walk around in a funk for 3 or 4 days. You got to figure something out. I want you to think about this, because it's going to be a very miserable recruiting career for you if you act this way after every loss, because you're going to lose a bunch." And so I thought about it for 2 or 3 days, and I came and met with him, and I said, "Coach, I agree with you. Yeah, I wasn't acting properly. That was bad. But I kind of come up with a 3-pronged approach as to how I'm going to handle this." He said, "Well, what is that?" And I said, "Well, I really, really wanted Hunter. I definitely wanted medical mistake. But you get who you're supposed to get. The right ones show up on campus. I truly believe that. And if Hunter was the right one, he would have been here on campus for us next year, but he's not, apparently. So we're going to get the right ones. The right ones do show up on campus. Number two, you can't worry about the ones you don't get. They're on somebody else's team, shooting scores for somebody else's team. So I can't worry about them. I can't focus on them anymore. They're playing someplace else. And number three, and probably most important, I better start coaching the ones we do get. So don't worry. I just picked up that 3-pronged approach, and I've used it ever since. And yes, I am upset. I'm disappointed. I'm gutted when I don't get a player that I wanted to come to Baylor. But the truth is, if I take that approach that I took with Hunter, then I'll probably be a lot better off. And I move on immediately and use my energy toward a player that we can get to come to Baylor. So that was what I learned from Mike Holder, and he put me through that process. I was able to help Alan Bratton with that years and years later when we missed on a great, great player that we'll tell you about in that recruiting episode. But the second one is kind of a humorous story. It involves an Oklahoma-born and bred player that was a really good player at Edmund North High School, the first high school that I ever coached at as a head coach. His name was Zach Reynolds. He was the runner-up to Charlie Belgian in the 2001 U.S. Junior, I believe it was, in Atlanta Athletic Club. We were recruiting him. I was recruiting him heavily. He'd come from the high school where I'd once coached. He was an Oklahoma boy. You know, we were trying to still recruit Oklahoma kids to Oklahoma State at the time, although a few hadn't panned out quite like Mike Holder had wanted. It was a player that we thought we should recruit. And when Mike saw him play at the U.S. Junior and play so well, Mike said, "Yep, we need to offer this kid." And so we did. But I also realized I kind of wanted to go down and take a home visit. And so I asked Mike, "Can I go down and take a home visit in Edmond to visit the Reynolds family. And he said, oh, sure, I could do that. And so I set it up. I was going to go down and visit. It was just going to be an afternoon spent at the house talking, and then maybe dinner at their house. And so I knocked on the front door when I got to their house, and Zach's mother frantically opened the front door and said, Coach McGraw, come on in, come on in. And I said, okay. And she said, we've got a real problem. Zach's little brother, Luke, we've misplaced him. We've lost him. We can't find him anywhere. We've called the police. We've got people in the neighborhood searching. I mean, she's in a total panic. And I'm going, wow, this is going to be the most unusual home visit I've ever had. We've got to go find this young man. And so she said, we've got people scanning the neighborhood. Can you look everywhere in the house, go through closets, do everything? So my home visit immediately commenced with me searching for Zach Reynolds' little brother, Luke. He had probably 7 or 8 at the time, probably 7, I think. And so I'm searching all through the house and can't find him. And they're all through running through the neighborhood. It's a complete panic. And I'm thinking, man, we've got to find this kid. And finally, some of the other people started coming back in. I sat down on the couch and I thought, where in the world would this kid go? He was here, 25 minutes before I got there, and he's gone. And all of a sudden, I felt something move. This couch was a huge couch with large, large cushions. And I felt something move, and I looked, and there was a foot sticking out of the couch. And I pulled on that foot, and all of a sudden this head emerged, and it was Luke. He had fallen asleep in the couch and gotten in between the cushions, and he was literally hidden completely by the cushions. And I went out screaming in the front yard, I found him, I found him. And anyway, the family came in, was completely, completely relieved. And I laugh about that with Zach years later. And I actually asked him to confirm that I had the story right before I did it on this podcast. But it was absolutely a wonderful dinner, by the way, laughing and joking, and had a great time. And Zach ended up coming to Baylor, or to Oklahoma State, pardon me, and had a great career and was just a wonderful kid to have on the team and a great student as well. But that's the day I lost Hunter Mahan. And then years later, I almost lost a little brother of a player, but he was in the cushions of the couch. So do stay tuned for that episode, which will be coming in the next month, about it'll have a lot of other coaches on it and their most important things that they consider when looking for a player, mine as well. I think you might really tune in if you're a prospect or a parent of a prospect, because there'll be a lot of really good information there shared, including NCAA rules, so that you know those, but also just things to look for, ways to handle the recruiting process, and certain ways that coaches handle the recruiting process. So I'm looking forward to that episode. But again, wanted to tell you today about our fall, our Baylor team, and about the players we're going to have joining us next year. So thank you for joining me again today. I'm Better Than I Found It. Now let's get ready for those final exams here in Waco before heading home for Christmas break. Thanks again, and Sikkim Bears.